Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Jaya Nirvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishvishv Ananda, Sri Vaidyadara, Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. But come to this day, the Sindhu Devija, the Vidyana Bhavati Yoga Shiva Yamona. So I'm sure Shishu Yadavanda are very happy to be here with the curtain open so they can hear some appreciations and hear some of the glories of the great, great devotee, greatest devotee of the modern times. This divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are many, of course there are biographies, there's a number of biographies. There are many stories about Srila Prabhupada. Some of them are very serious, some of them are amusing, some of them are very philosophical, different types of stories. Narrations are there. I thought I could begin this morning by telling you a serious story in which Srila Prabhupada expressed quite clearly some of the difficulties that he faced and just how difficult it was. He came after all when he was already 70 years old. The great majority of us have not reached that point yet. Some of us are getting close. Some of us are there already, of course. But great majority, we don't really know what it feels like to be 70 years old, and that's when he began making great attempts, just great efforts, despite his age, cultural considerations, social considerations. Srila Prabhupada made a great effort. It wasn't just that he came and he just spread Krishna consciousness and we all got it, and it was just like that. He's a person. And in order to do what he did, which is beyond all of us, any of us, but in order to do that, he had to make great efforts, endure great difficulties and challenges. And this should be there in terms of our awareness of Prabhupada, our appreciation of Prabhupada. We should appreciate the efforts he made for us, and through which, only because of which, we receive this great gift of Krishna consciousness. So the first story, like I said, is a serious one. First story I'll tell is from Mumbai in those days, Bombay, where the devotees, Prabhupada and the devotees, were trying to get what has ended up to be our very great project by Juhu Beach. But at that point they were trying to get it established. So there was a small group of devotees living there under austere, very austere conditions. And occasionally interpersonal problems would crop up. And sometimes those problems would be so great or seem so great to those devotees that they felt that the only thing they could do to solve the problem would be take it to Srila Prabhupada. So at one point they did like that. They brought some, what they considered a very serious problem that had cropped up amongst themselves, to Prabhupada. So the devotee relates what happened. Prabhupada told the devotees, as long as we're in the material world, there will always be problems. But if we focus too much on the problems, we will forget our real business, which is to become Krishna conscious. Instead of thinking and talking about Krishna, we will think and talk about problems. Then Srila Prabhupada spoke about himself, how much he had endured to spread Krishna consciousness. He had suffered 2 heart attacks at sea on the way to America. And in America, he had a buzzing in his ears and terrible headaches. Srila Prabhupada told the devotees, I do not wish even to tell you how much I suffered, but I never complained. My principle was always everything for Krishna, nothing for me. And because that was my principle, everything for Krishna, nothing for me, I never had any complaint. So we should consider not just Prabhupada as the hero and doing this and doing that, but Prabhupada as the person and the elderly person making superhuman efforts to spread Krishna consciousness ultimately to us. As one devotee said, we should celebrate, we should be so happy to receive the gift and all the gifts which are there in Krishna consciousness, but we should never forget where we got it from and how we got it. So, yes. One time, here's another serious one. Srila Prabhupada is giving class, and there are 2 very senior devotees there. One is Tamal Krishna Goswami, and then there's another one whose name I won't mention, but basically on the same or similar level. In the middle of the class, Srila Prabhupada turned to the 2 of them and said, can you quote this verse? He had just mentioned something like a little paraphrasing of a particular verse from Bhagavad Gita, and he turned to Tamal Krishna Goswami, the other devotee, can you quote this verse? The other devotee says, we looked at each other, and I thought, Tamal Krishna Goswami will quote the verse. But Tamal Krishna Goswami thought, I was going to do it. Neither of us knew the verse. Prabhupada said, just see, you're not reading my books. Every day you have to read, study, and learn my books, just like a lawyer learns the laws. You must know everything, chapter and verse. If you do not know, how will you preach? Unless you know my books, how will you teach these men? Means the devotees. Do you know that every day, even I read my own books? Do you know why I read my books? We didn't want to venture any answer. Prabhupada said, I read my books every day because even I learn something new when I read my books. Because these are not my books. I do not write these books. It seemed as though something mystical came over him at this point. Prabhupada continued, every morning when I sit here to write my books, Krishna comes personally and dictates to me what to write. I simply take dictation from Krishna to write these books. Therefore, when I read them, even I learn something. The way he said this was so dramatic that we felt the weight of his words. I was thinking, I'm speaking with a person who is speaking with God, who's right next to God. I'm only one person removed from God. He's so close. Here's another serious one. This actually comes from Bhavananda Prabhu. Perhaps some of you at least heard of him, you may have even seen him in Mayapur. He used to be a very leading devotee. He got into some difficulty, but then more recently he's seems to have become nicely engaged in Krishna consciousness again. So he told us the story. He was with Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur. They were on top of what is called the Lotus Building. If you've been there, you would probably know what that means. The first building, really, that was built in those days was just out in the middle of the fields. So they're up on the roof of that building. It's like, say, four to five stories above ground level. And it's just open fields. And on one side the Ganges, on one side the Jalangi, and some trees by the rivers. So very, very beautiful tropical scene. And Srila Prabhupada started speaking to Bhavananda Prabhu. And he said, all of the world, the whole world, they must come to Mayapur. And they must see how beautiful is Mayapur. And Prabhupada Magnus was speaking very appreciatively of the beauty of Mayapur, the transcendental nature, the benefit people will get, and like this, how important visiting Mayapur is. Then Prabhupada changed the perspective. This Mayapur is so beautiful, but this material world, oh, it's horrible. Such a terrible place. So much difficulty, so much suffering. And then Prabhupada said a very amazing thing. Listen to this. Prabhupada said, I did not want to come here, but Krishna told me, you must. The people need your books. And Prabhupada said, that I replied to Krishna that this place is so horrible. It's so terrible. I don't want to come here. And then he said, Krishna told me, no, you must come here. The people need your books. If they do not get your books, what will happen? So, in other words, at least in terms of this little discussion, it appears Srila Prabhupada was sent personally by Krishna. And, well, that in itself is something very sort of extra dimensional. Just to make it a little lighter, on the same subject, yes. One devotee, one of Prabhupada's disciples, was congratulating Prabhupada for his astute social judgment of going to America and starting the Krishna consciousness movement outside India, starting it from New York, from America. that this was just, you know, such a very clever evaluation of the situation of modern society and what would be the best way or route for introducing and spreading Krishna consciousness here. And Prabhupada said, yes, one of my godbrothers went to England and failed to do anything. That was in the 30s. 36, it was just shortly before the Second World War. So this one devotee went to England and he tried to do something. So Prabhupada said, yes, one of my godbrothers went to England and failed to do anything. He was a complete failure. Failure number one. And another godbrother went to Germany and he was failure number two. So I thought, at least I should fail in a new place. Not making light of it at all, but Prabhupada had a real sense of humor. Amazing sense of humor, actually. Here's another serious, sort of, anyway, interesting, kind of serious story. They were, Prabhupada was there in one of the early centers, one of the very early centers in the very early days. Prabhupada began the evening program that by leading the kirtan himself, and then he gave the class. This is actually, this story is from Mother Yamuna. Mother Yamuna, who unfortunately passed away not long ago, but left very, very nice book of her experiences with Prabhupada. So she was sitting there to Prabhupada's right with the harmonium. And then after the class, Mother Yamuna began leading a kirtan, playing the harmonium. So the kirtan's going on. Everyone in the devotees is standing up and singing and moving, and kirtan's going on. And suddenly, Srila Prabhupada, who had another, Yamuna had a microphone, Prabhupada had a microphone, suddenly in the middle of the kirtan, everything was just going on, Prabhupada's voice cut through the place, the hall, just cut through, Yamuna says, with the potency of Lord Nrsimhadeva, right in the middle of her, leading the kirtan. And she says she'd never heard Prabhupada ever do that before, or heard of him doing it. And she hadn't heard the song which Prabhupada was singing. She was chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada started singing some song, like a bhajan type song, but extremely powerful. Narada Muni Bhajaya Vina Radhika Ramana Namane. So, and then again he sang it, and again a few times. And Yamuna, who's sitting down playing the harmonium leading the kirtan, she looked up at Prabhupada, what should I do? You know, maybe I should just stop and you take over. But then Prabhupada looked at her and gestured, carry on with the kirtan. So she did. She continued chanting Hare Krishna, and Prabhupada continued singing the song to Narada Muni through his microphone. So it's really kind of unusual kirtan situation. Then Prabhupada stopped and started singing Hare Krishna with her, like the two of them leading kirtan. And she says, everyone was literally jumping off the ground, leaping in the air. Even little baby Saraswati was 2 feet off the ground. And the audience was leaping into the air. And then they started running around this like a hall. And the next morning, Mother Yamuna asked Prabhupada what had happened the previous night. And Prabhupada said, "Didn't you see? Narayana came to our kirtan." "No, I didn't see him," Yamuna responded. And Prabhupada said, "Yes, Narayana came." There was another very similar incident. Very similar incident. Except that, during all of this, well, actually, it was just Hare Krishna Kirtan. But during it, suddenly, Srila Prabhupada started laughing and laughing and laughing. And afterwards, one devotee asked Prabhupada, why were you laughing? Prabhupada said, "I was laughing to see Narada Muni." And the devotee said, "Narada Muni?" Prabhupada said, "Yes. Narada Muni was there." And the devotee asked, what was Narada Muni doing? Prabhupada said, "He was laughing." And the devotee asked, "Why was he laughing?" Prabhupada said, "He was laughing when he saw the lectures and chandalas dancing and chanting Hare Krishna." But I think that came from the also. Yeah. Let me tell you another amusing but interesting story. This is from Bhadri Narayan Maharaj, who was temple president in San Diego, California, for many years, like 30 years or something, or even more perhaps. So, this is for the Guruji. And anyone who either is or has aspirations of becoming a temple president. Now, Bhadri Narayan Prabhu, I mean, he's Maharaja, he is just a very great and special devotee. He had just become temple president, so it was, you know, he'd only been a devotee a few years, in other words. And now he'd just become president, and Srila Prabhupada had just come and was visiting San Diego Temple for a few days. And every morning, of course, Prabhupada, as was his practice, would go on a morning walk. And during those morning walks, from time to time, devotees would ask him questions about different things, even practical things in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, Bhadri Narayan Prabhu, he thought, "Let me get some instructions. Let me ask Prabhupada how to be a temple president. What are the duties, and just how to carry out the responsibilities of being the temple president?" So the next day, Prabhupada went on his morning walk before the greeting of the deities. And Bhadri Narayan Prabhu, he got the opportunity to ask Srila Prabhupada. So he asked Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, please tell me, what are the duties of a temple president?" And he told us he was expecting, or at least hoping for, but actually was expecting some very profound answer about, you know, how to work with the devotees and develop the Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada stopped and turned to him. And Prabhupada had a way where he would stop in a morning walk and speak to someone and to make a point. He would always have a walking stick. So he'd turn around, face the person, and sort of plonk the walking stick down, bit of a bang, not a bang, but just thrown it into the ground. And he looked at Bhagavad Gita and gave this profound answer. Srila Prabhupada said, temple president means when anything in the temple goes wrong, it is his fault. And picked up his walking stick, turned around, and carried on. I had a personal experience of that actually with Srila Prabhupada. Maybe I can just mention. And it was a very interesting experience of that, exactly of that sort. I had just the day before received second initiation, but not received the mantras yet, the Gayatri mantras. We had the Yajna. Yeah. So anyway, the next morning, right after Mangalarti, 5 a.m., there was a group of us to get second initiation. We're called in one by one. I was the first one. And it's early in the morning, and I've never been alone with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was such an imposing personality. What a presence, particularly for the disciples. So then I went off of my obeisances. Now I'm kneeling right next to Prabhupada's table, and he's maybe, hardly a meter or 4 feet away from me. Prabhupada saw I had my Brahman thread on already. And Prabhupada looked at me, and in a firm voice, Prabhupada said, why have you got your Brahman thread on? I didn't know why I had my Brahman thread on. It was just that it got put on. There it was now. And so I couldn't reply, I just became stuck. And Prabhupada said, who put it on you? And I told him, Rabbata Nandan Swami, who was the one who did the yajna. And Prabhupada said, why did he put it on you? I didn't know why. And then Prabhupada said, I want him to put it on me. Then Prabhupada's assistant, I forget who it was at that time, but anyway, he was there. Prabhupada told him, call Kunda, who is now Mukunda Maharaj, and who was the temple president in Bhaktivedanta Manor, where we were. So, a minute or two or so, not a minute or two, just some seconds later, Mukunda Prabhu came in. And please bear in mind, every devotee, practically, in Europe, what to speak of England, was at Bhaktivedanta Manor. There's probably 500 devotees. Means full-time temple resident devotees. And it was intense. It was intense. Keeping on everything together, and Mukunda was the one who was doing that. So, Prabhupada called him in, he came on the basis, and Prabhupada said, why has this boy got his Brahman thread on? And Mukunda went. I remember watching him. He's looking at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada asked him why. He looked away, and he just sort of denied. And he didn't answer. And Prabhupada said, you must know. You are temple president. You must know these things. Silence. Anyway, and then Mukunda Prabhu left. But Prabhupada expected the authorities to be on the ball. Really on the ball and just tuned in. Here's another little amusing story from Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. In fact, why not tell you two? The temple, he was not the temple president at the time, but he was in the room with Prabhupada, in Prabhupada's room there, when the temple president of that time asked Prabhupada a question. He asked Srila Prabhupada, or he told Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada, one of our friends, or like member type people, is offering us some peanut oil at a very cheap price, a very good price. Should we accept it? And then we know, here you don't, people don't really use peanut oil much. In England, it's extremely common amongst the Hindu people. Anyway, yeah, so should we accept it? Srila Prabhupada certainly didn't answer directly. He just said, peanut oil is not so high class. That was his response. In other words, a little negative. But the president was enthusiastic. He said, but Prabhupada, we can save a lot of money and give it to the BPT for printing books. And Prabhupada responded, peanut oil is not so high class. Again. And then the president, for a third time, said, but Srila Prabhupada something. And Srila Prabhupada, fastening your seatbelts, said, do any damn thing you want. And the temple president now is getting the idea that, you know, it sounds like it's not a good idea. So he said to Prabhupada, so we shouldn't get the peanut oil. Yes? And he said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, I knew one man, he used to use peanut oil. Prabhupada said, yes, I knew that man. One night, he ate many pakoras deep fried in peanut oil. And the devotee asked, the president asked, what happened to him, Srila Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, the next morning he died. There was no more talk about peanut oil. And probably this for us, just knowing that. Let me tell you another story from Bhagini Narayana. She's a good source of stories. And we like to tell stories which the devotees may not know so well. So, Prabhupada was coming. And none of you, I don't know none of you, but maybe none of you, have been in a temple when Prabhupada was coming, like today, in a couple of hours, that sort of situation. You know, the whole temple had been repainted. Sri Sri Radha Radha Sri Sri Radha Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu King. Everything had been repainted, so it smelt of paint. In each room, there were burning like 50 sticks of incense to try to cover the smell of the paint. So it was just full of smoke. And one devotee got a really bright idea. He had learned the Sanskrit alphabet. A bit. So he could write the Hare Krishna mantra in Sanskrit. So what he decided to do, it would just be very nice if Prabhupada would be very appreciative and even inspired. He wrote the Hare Krishna Maha mantra, the whole mantra, on the steps from the driveway up into the building. He wrote it very beautifully, and he painted it very beautifully in Sanskrit. I mean, you know, covering like four rows of stems, something like that. Prominent, very prominent. And Srila Prabhupada arrived. And Prabhupada kept getting out of the car. He's out of the car. And now he's approaching the steps. 1 foot on the bottom step, and he stopped. He saw the Hare Krishna Maharaj. Now, in those days, like I mentioned, the whole temple's repainted because Prabhupada's coming. Everything is cleaned. Everything that could be painted is painted, not even just the walls, but. And, you know, swept out and cleaned out. And they finished minutes before Prabhupada actually arrived. And they just threw all the empty paint buckets and all the dirt and all the old curtains, because they changed some of the curtains. Everything got thrown out the back door. So Prabhupada now arrives, like we said, at the front door, or at least at the front steps. One step, and Prabhupada stopped and stepped back. He saw the mantra. He said, "Oh, the Hare Krishna mantra, I cannot step on it." He went around to the back, and there was a total mess. And the devotees had to pull things apart, and, you know, move things, and Prabhupada made his way through. Here's an interesting little story. It's actually from Los Angeles, but it's from, it's also from Vajrayana. Is that Srila Prabhupada had done a Sunday program in the Los Angeles temple. And then the people went out to take prasadam out onto the front lawn and just the front area before the road. But Prabhupada stayed in the temple room for some 10 or 15 minutes speaking to some people. So then he came out. By the time he came out, everyone was taking prasadam. They were sitting there and chatting and taking prasadam. It was, you know, a typical Sunday feast situation. And, you know, everyone was basically very happy taking prasadam and associating together. And Prabhupada stopped and watched for maybe 30 seconds, watching them taking prasadam, and just the scene there, and smiling very happily. Then Prabhupada said, "I think that if it were not for prasadam, I might not have made one disciple." Here's another little story. It's a sort of serious story, but it's kind of in between. Prabhupada was in Calcutta on his morning walk, and they went for a morning walk by the Victoria Memorial. Was it Victoria Albert? No, Victoria. Victoria, huh? Are you familiar with that? Victoria Memorial in Calcutta's massive, huge palace. It's a palace. It's just, well, the real thing. It's just extremely impressive. And Prabhupada stopped and looked at the Victoria Memorial. Then he said to the devotees, "When I was young, I climbed this to the top." And the devotees would have been shocked. It's really too imposing, actually. I climbed and right to the top. And the devotee, one devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, you were so brave when you were young. And Prabhupada said, yes, and I'm still brave now. Well, what now? I have to finish in 5 minutes, and then you can take over. Okay. Well, here's a story. It's not likely you've heard. Anyway, let's see. Hari Vilas Prabhu, another very, very senior devotee. And one of the first devotees in France, although it's American. So, it was, I think, 69, Prabhupada's first visit to Europe. Prabhupada was in England. He met the Beatles and, you know, all of that. And Krishna consciousness had become established in the eyes of at least the youth in the UK. Then Prabhupada was going to go to Paris, first visit. And Hari Vilas, one of the leaders of the French Yatra, he wanted to arrange a really nice public program. And I don't know if you know much about France, and I hope there are no French people here, because they'll be offended when I tell you French people have a propensity to be really snooty and snobby. It's amazing. It's amazing. I could tell you these stories. Anyway, but he wanted to get the best theater in France for Prabhupada's public program. So the best theater, I don't know about now, but in those days, was a big theater. It took some thousands of people, called the Olympia Theater. So he went to see the manager. And he said to him, have you heard of the Beatles? In those days, if you hadn't heard of the Beatles, you were like irrelevant, totally socially irrelevant. Have you heard of the Beatles?
Yes.
Well, their guru is coming. Oh, really? Are they coming? He blunted a little. Yes, they're coming. They're coming. We want the best theater to do big program. The Beatles will be there, and many others. He mentioned some others, the Rolling Stones. You know, these people are just like the demigods of the youth. And the man was, wow, really? Oh yeah, that's great. So Hari Vilas Prabhu negotiated to get the Olympia Theatre, usually at some thousands of euros a night, free of charge. So Prabhupada came to do a program. Unfortunately, the Beatles didn't make it. They weren't going to come anyway. And neither did the Rolling Stones or various of the others. In fact, there was about 50 people there in a hall which could take, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000, bigger than the Durban Town Hall. But anyway, Prabhupada was happy, the program went on. Afterwards, Prabhupada came out onto the street to be driven back to wherever he was staying. But as happens sometimes, the driver had parked the car around the other side a couple of blocks away. And he didn't go and get the car to meet Prabhupada when Prabhupada came out. When Prabhupada came out, he came out, the driver, and ran to get the car. And Prabhupada had to wait like 15 minutes or so, just standing on the street. And there was a cafe, a Parisian cafe there, extremely popular. And people were there sitting and drinking and so on. But there were seats available. And Prabhupada asked, "Do people smoke and drink liquor there?" Hari Vilas Prabhu said, "Yes." Hari Vilas Prabhu asked him, "Would you like to sit down?" So Prabhupada asked, "Do people smoke and drink liquor there?" Hari Vilas said, "Yes, Prabhupada." Prabhupada said, "Guru cannot sit in such a place." And he remained standing. You know, we can tell you many stories. We will continue this evening. I will continue. That little charity will continue now. I will do the Buddha offering to Prabhupada. But let me close by telling you one funny story, which you actually quite likely to have heard. Prabhupada told a joke. This was a Prabhupada joke. Prabhupada said, there was one devotee. At night, he ate a big feast. A very big feast. And the last thing he ate was one samosa. You might say, very healthy samosa, fat and golden brown, just like glowing, effulgent samosa, super samosa. Not one of the little triangular ones, but you know. That was the last thing he had. And then he slept. He just collapsed and slept. Next morning, Prabhupada said, he got up and immediately, strong call of nature. Anyway, to the toilet. And, oh, he passed the stool. Oh. And then Prabhupada said, he stood up, turned around, and looked at his stool. In his stool, sitting in the toilet. And the devotee said, he spoke to the stool. And he said, "Ah, look at you, you're so horrible. Oh, I'm glad I got rid of you." And the stool replied. And the stool, Prabhupada said, the stool said, Don't talk about me like that. Last night I was that samosa, but after just one night's association with you, look what happened to me." Shiva Prabhupada ki jai. Shiva Prabhupada ki jai. Shiva Prabhupada ki jai.
So this one time in the education room was serving Srila Prabhupada, and this was his second service to Srila Prabhupada's servant. So he came to Srila Prabhupada's room and Prabhupada said, "Oh, you're back. Did you take the sun?" He said, "No, we didn't take the sun, but I will take my glasses." He said, "No, you take it now." So he called Srila, who was the cook, he said, "Please bring a plate for you." So she got to the place and she started serving Srila Prabhupada and she was beginning to go. And while he was taking this prasada, he was thinking, "Wow, this is really, really good prasada. Srila Prabhupada is eating my austere cooking, but this is real prasada. so nice. And he was ravishing and ravishing and ravishing. Hot bunch of classes were coming in and he was ravishing. And at the end, Brahma said, would you like some more? He said, oh, Brahma, let's go. And fully set aside.
Oh, very good.
So now, today, the woman is cooked for you. Tomorrow, you will cook for her.
Since we're talking about Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, I remember once, when I was in the Calcutta temple, I was assisting Gargamuni Prabhu and collecting from Mayapur. There was a devotee named Mr. Chatterjee. He was later initiated by Prabhupada as Nagaraj Das, and he was previously a prize fighter, a boxer, and he was a little bit militant, you know. When Prabhupada would do the Prema Dwani, you know, and then Nagaraj, or Mr. Chatterjee would say, save the world, Prabhupada! Save the world, Prabhupada! Save yourself, Prabhupada! So he was like really kind of like enthusiastic in that way. And Prabhupada was coming out of the Albert Road Temple and he had to catch a plane. And we had a driver, local. Somebody was employed as a driver. Down the street there was a tea stand, and Prabhupada came out with his devotees and he was had to get in the car and go to the airport. But the driver wasn't there. And then somebody said, oh, he's down there at the tea stand, you know. So Mr. Chatterjee, he's like running down the road with his fist flying in the air. He's to get him back, you know. And Prabhupada said, they are so mad after tea. That was started by the British for business to get the Indians addicted to tea. Anyway, I have some nice poems by our godbrother, Bali Mardan Prabhu. This was a Vyasa Puja offering from 1970 when Bali Mardan Das Brahmachari was in Sydney, Australia. So I don't even know where he is now, do you know? No. But he was a very one of our leaders, and he was inspired by Krishna to write some very beautiful poems. So this was a Vyasa Puja offering by Bali Mardan Prabhu. Three songs and plays of Srila Prabhupada. The first one is called Constant Journey. This life is a constant journey, Srila Prabhupada, the guiding star. We can see the way before us, though the goal is very far. With the real Bhagavad Gita, we have started on the road. Wonder why the mundane wranglers have to carry such a load. And with Srila Prabhupada to guide us, we will traverse every curve on the path to Krishna Loka, where Krishna is always served. This life is a constant journey back to Krishna, back to God. We're traveling on the highway that is lit by Prabhupada. The second poem is called Krishna All the Time. One thought's on my mind now. It made my life sublime. Srila Prabhupada said there's nothing more. It's Krishna all the time. Krishna is the enjoyer. At last there's no more void. Since Prabhupada had said that we are the enjoyed. Srila Prabhupada's our teacher. He's leading us away from the endless miseries we used to face each day. Distressed and curious, a piece of glass was all we saw. But Prabhupada accepted us. He gave us something more. Srila Prabhupada's our savior. He gave back the sight of the jewel within the lotus. He gave us back our lives. And the third one, it has some very beautiful lines. His divine grace. The earth is torn with material anxiety. The young are rioting against their society. One person, a great soul, has come from above to sing about Krishna, to give divine love. He is dancing in ecstasy, eyes all aglow. Come among us, so God we may know. His lips are a fountain of nectarian bliss, mundane pleasures we never miss. For he is providing a life of perfection, to learn to serve Krishna, to beg his protection. Prabhupada has come, Maya has run, unable to stand in front of the sun. He is Mahatma, the servant most dear, bringing souls back to Godhead, shattering fear. He does not care for bodily designation, French, American, Japanese, or Canadian. All he drags out of the cage of birth, death, disease, and old age. He is the science of the eternally living, to raise the most wretched to be all forgiving. Him we must offer beautiful prayer. We must not forget him. He is most dear. His remembrance brings love, a quivering feeling. The material disease is thus seen to be healing. To love him is the most valuable of all possessions. To taste the infinite mercy of the disciplic succession. Thus do we bow down, thus we are singing. To him who is carrying us back to the living. Bhale Mardan Das Brahmachari Iskon Sydney. Now I'm going to read a verse that Prabhupada would quote. And I may not read the whole thing, it may take too long, but it's very relevant to Srila Prabhupada's mood in preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world, everywhere. We know about certain places in the world, but all over the world this movement has spread. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, Verse 18. Kirata Hunindra Polinda Pulkasha Abira Shamba Yavanakasadaya Yenye Chapapa Yan Apashraya Shraya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnavena Maha. So these are different groups of people or tribes or nationalities. And Prabhupada describes translation. Kirata, Hun, Andhra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abira, Shumba, Yavana, members of the Kasa races, and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to his being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Now in the purport, Prabhupada explains who some of these people are. Kirata, see, Prabhupada says, are the aborigines. In India now they have Adivasas, people who live in the hills, and they're not really part of the Vedic culture. They kind of are living, they call them Adivasas, means the original inhabitants. And sometimes Prabhupada would refer to the aborigines. The aborigine girls would smear the dust from Krishna's footprints on their breasts. And the Huns, Andhra Prabhupada, the Huns Prabhupada says Hungarians are the Germans, and the Andhra, he said this is a present province in India. Pulinda is the Greeks. I'm not sure who the Abhira Shumba, Yavan is like the Turks. The Khasa are the Orientals. So Prabhupada said, all these people, Prabhupada says, the above mentioned historical names are different nations of the world. Even those who are constantly engaged in sinful acts are all corrigible to the standard of perfect human beings if they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ and Muhammad, two powerful devotees of the Lord, have done tremendous service on behalf of the Lord on the surface of the globe. It appears that instead of running a godless civilization, if the leadership of world affairs is entrusted to the devotees of the Lord, for which a worldwide organization under the name and style of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has already been started, then by the grace of the Almighty Lord, there can be a thorough change of heart in human beings all over the world, because the devotees are able authorities to effect such a change by purifying the dust-worn minds of the people in general. So our minds are actually polluted by being in the material world from the modes of ignorance and passion. And Lord Chaitanya said that by chanting the holy name, we can purify our consciousness. So Prabhupada says that the people in this world have dust-worn minds. The devotees are interested only in seeing that the people in general are not misguided by political propaganda, and in seeing that the value of a human life is not spoiled in following a type of civilization that is ultimately doomed. So people take politics very seriously, but as long as we're allowed to prosecute Krishna consciousness, we don't care that much about politics. And after the extinction of the fire of misunderstanding, other prophets will follow. The destination is to go back home, back to Godhead. According to the cult of devotion, generally known as the Vaishnava cult, there is no bar against anyone's advancing in the matter of God realization. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said by the Lord that there is no bar to become a devotee of the Lord, even those who are low-born. And by becoming a devotee, everyone is eligible to return home, back to Godhead. The only qualification is that one take shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord who has thorough knowledge of the transcendental science of Krishna as presented in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, if somebody engages in devotional service, I know. Anyway, sometimes people worry, oh, why am I not more advanced? But if you think, well, how was I 10 years ago or 20 years ago? So by being engaged in Srila Prabhupada's movement, and this was Srila Prabhupada's consciousness to save everyone, and as Krishna says, that from the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, where repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my supreme abode never takes birth again in this material world. So Srila Prabhupada came to deliver us all. And this is going on all over the world, not just here in South Africa, but in so many countries. so we can appreciate Srila Prabhupada's consciousness, his compassion, and his mercy on Srila Prabhupada's disappearance today. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
So what's the next on the agenda? We've got...